Into the freaking garbage.
You see that crap? All that horror crap? Things coming out of crates, eating people, dead people coming back to life, people turning into weeds, for Christ's sake. I never saw such rotten crap in my life. Where do you get this shit? Who sells it to you? All that horror crap?
Spectacular edition of Boy Gob.
Finally got around to actually changing the podcast title and shit, so I think this is the first one where it'll officially be Boy Gob, so there's that. But hey, Joe, speaking of which, why don't you go join Team Boy Gob? We got these dope jerseys. Basketball jerseys, sublimated, so they're nice, silky smooth, keep you cool in the warm weather that's coming up. You'll get your own name, your whatever name you want, whatever number you want. You'll look pretty dope wearing that, or you won't. Also got a couple t-shirts, a couple new shirts from the fine, fine folks at Fast Custom Shirts, including our new logo. Joe, I think you did a great job on it, and it looks pretty cool. But don't forget, Fast Custom Shirts, even though you just saw the website, I'm doing it again. Horror, sci-fi, exploitation. You need custom shirts? Hit them up. And then hit up dwnproductions.net. Masks, bus, props, custom work. If you need something custom made, maybe I could do it for you. Joe, how was your week?
How was it? I guess it's been pretty busy, Tom. I don't remember doing anything really but working, you know. This Sunday, however, yesterday, see, I don't even know the days of the week right now. Yesterday, went out to old Horror Freak. And did an old pop-up, you know, selling my wares outsides and everything, you know. And it was quite a windy day, so got to laugh at the vendors that don't know how to set shit up right. And, you know, the people that set things up that are going to blow over. Things made of glass and stuff. It's like, you'll learn. Got to thank Horrorholic Joe for coming out and hanging out with me and helping me break down. It was good to see a friendly face out there because there was a lot of people I know out there, but his name I actually remember because it's a bit easy for me to remember, you know. I'm not good with names, people. So anytime you come and see me at a show, no matter if we've met like 10 or 12 times, hey, start out by telling me your name. That would be greatly appreciated. I'll return the favor, you know, and tell you my name.
Yeah, I'm terrible with that shit. I need to hear it a couple times for sure and probably see it like in print.
Yeah, definitely. Then came home and man, I was tired. I was wiped out and did not want to record the show, did not want to read Spider-Man's. I just wanted to lay down. Then it was one of those nights, so I went to bed early. Now, what Lisa likes to do is when she comes to bed, is she likes to turn on the TV, you know, and have the TV playing. And, like, there's nights when that's fine. I can sleep through that. There's other nights when I'm, like, real tired. It seems like when I'm real tired, like, anything will fucking wake me up. So I leave, you know, the bed, I'm all in a huff. Go lay down on the couch and, you know, fuck, lay down. I fall asleep. About midnight, the girl gets up and decides, hey, now's a good time to make her lunch for for school the next day, you know. You know, maybe Lisa will have the TV off by now. Nope, but she's asleep, so I can turn it off. I lay down, and now I'm finally out at around maybe 5 o'clock in the morning. Lisa wakes me up to tell me old Skylar is having a seizure. And this is some weird shit, you know. It's just like, because what can you do? Nothing. Not a damn thing. The dog's just shaking, staring off into space, you know, not responding to anything. We didn't go the emergency route. I did take her to the vet today. And they said, you know, yeah, she's fine. You know, hopefully it doesn't happen again. That'll be 200 something bucks. All right. Thanks. And, yeah. And now I'm back at it at the shop for another week. How was your week, Tom?
Ah, it was another fucking week, Joe. Got some shit done, maybe. I don't know. I'm working on a custom mask right now. I'm going to try and do another new piece for Frightmare. I started pouring shit for it. So it's been another week. Nothing really funny or anything going on over here. But it sounds to me like you should have recorded last night, Joe, because if you did, you wouldn't have to sit through this shit.
Tales from the Crypt,
Season 5, Episode 9. What's this one called?
Hey, Creep Course. That, did we decide on a list so I can write my list down while you're doing this?
Joe, remember, you're the one who sent me the idea for the list.
Did I now? What was
that? It said Tom's.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. I'll work on that right now.
All right. Now let me redo this again since it needs to be clipped.
Tales from the Crypt.
Season 5, Episode 9, Creep Course. And this one, it's crazy. I can't believe it. But it starts with the intro. And then we see the Crypt Keeper. He's dressed up like a dickhead. He's supposed to be dressed up like a college guy or something. But I don't know. He's wearing like some weird multicolored circus yarmulke or something. And he's filling a dude's mouth up. I'm not sure what's going on. But we get into the story. And it's funny. Everything in this episode of the podcast ties together. It's funny that you're here too.
Hey, now Jeff again.
Excuse me?
Not good. Well, he's back. He's a little fuzzy, but he's back.
I sure don't want to have to do this again. Joe, where did it get fucked up at?
I don't know. You just froze.
Tales from the Crypt.
Season 5, Episode 9, Creep Course. This one starts out with the intro, if you can believe that. And as for the Crypt Keeper segment, he's supposed to be like a college guy cramming for an exam. He has a weird hat on, looks like a circus yarmulke or something. And then he's filling a dude's mouth up, which is weird. It's one of these where there's like an actual live actor interacting with the Crypt Keeper in it. Anyways, we get into the story, and this one stars your boy, Jeffrey Jones. But that's not all, Joe. Evil Dies Tonight is the co-star in it. So this takes place at a college. Jeffrey Jones is like an ancient Egyptian teacher. I guess there's a ancient Egypt course or something. Or maybe it's History 3. I don't know. And old Evil Dies Tonight. He's a football player. And instead of, you know, paying attention in class like you're supposed to do, he's looking over plays and his playbook and shit. And old Jeffrey Jones is like, "Hey, numbskull." And I said, "Oh, shit. Jeffrey Jones better not say stuff like that anymore. Because if he said stuff like that today, there would be a documentary made about him." But we'll get to that, Joe. So he's just like, "So, numbskull, answer this question about all this Egyptian shit I was saying." He's just, "Oh, I can't. I'm dumb." And then he says, "Hey, nerd girl, what's the answer?" And she says it. So he convinces old nerd girl to go to Jeffrey Jones' house, where she'll be in no danger because she's a girl. Because Jeffrey Jones like has a basement full of Egypt shit. And just like, "Yeah, just tell him you want to go look at his shit. You distract him. I'll swipe the midterm so I can know the questions and I'll pass. And then I'll take you to a cool kids party." And then he kisses her. She quims in her pants. And then we cut to the fucking her going to old Jeff's house. Takes her into the basement. And in his basement, he has what the fuck was it called? I thought I wrote it in here, but I'm not going to be able to read any of this shit that I wrote. It's like a funeral room or a burial room, I think they called it. So he has a full basement and then he has a fucking burial room that's made out of stone and shit with the sarcophaguses and fire torches and shit all in it. It's goddamn ridiculous. So, he's trying to sacrifice Nerd Girl to the mummy. And she screams, "Help me, Evil Dies Tonight. He's trying to get me." So Evil Dies Tonight runs down and he says, "Ha ha, I'm in on it, bitch." And pushes her into the fucking tomb.
The twist.
And then, I know, no, that's not the twist yet. Double. Yeah. Wait for it. So they lock her in the burial room and then the mummy comes out and she does one of those things where she puts on a hat and says, "Don't you realize who I am? I'm your wife." And then we cut to old Jeffrey Jones and Evil Dies Tonight. They're fucking going over their thing, like, I guess to help Jeffrey Jones get Nerd Girl, Jeffrey Jones was going to give him a C+ so he could pass and fucking play football. He realizes this is a stupid fucking idea and he got cheated. And he's just like, "Hey, give me some of that shit you got in the basement so I can get some money." And Jeffrey Jones says, "Fuck you. I poisoned your drink." So old Evil Dies Tonight starts shitting and puking blood. Jeffrey Jones brings him into the basement, puts him in a sarcophagus, and the door opens up and we see the mummy standing there. And then the nerd girl comes out dressed like a pharaohess or whatever the fuck they're called, and her tits are hanging out and shit, and she's just like, "Hey, I fucked the mummy. Now he's going to kill you." And then she goes back to school and her class project is those two dickheads wrapped up like mummies. And then she gets arrested.
Tales from the Crypt.
And the Crypt Keeper comes back. He's dressed like a college dude again and says something about sucking dick, and we're out. It was okay. Like, the ending, it's like, what the fuck? There's like an A-plus grade that says very good or great job written on her project to these dead guys. She's like, who wrote that on there? The motherfucker's dead. He didn't write it. That was the teacher for that class. You fucking idiots. What's up?
Fucked a Mummy. That sounds like it would be a Misfits song if they were worth a fuck.
Oh, we fucked a mummy. I don't know. But yeah, this one was okay. I mean, Jeffrey Jones was in it. Head on over to DWNProductions.net. Masks, bust, props, custom work. Maybe you want a custom Jeffrey Jones. Maybe you're a Beetlejuice fan. I don't know who's watching this shit. But if you want something made, hit me up. Then head on over to FastCustomShirts.com. Hundreds and hundreds of t-shirt designs, all reasonably priced. Horror, sci-fi, exploitation, says it right there. Also says custom work. So if you want some custom work, hit them up. Also, every Monday, right here on the channel, I do a podcast with that guy who's usually not here because we're recording later. So I have to get this episode recorded now so it'll be up tomorrow, you see. But if you like whatever this is, come back and watch the full episode, because it's pretty much the same shit, just not Tales from the Crypt, and he says a lot more. So until next time, Boy Gob. Everybody else, don't go anywhere. That was just a Boy Gob for the clip. So we still got a bunch more show to go. Joe, what did you watch?
I'd say, because honestly, man, I hadn't really watched a lot. You know, I haven't really felt like sitting in front of the old boob tube, as they used to call it in the 70s, Tom. Yeah, I don't know what it is. Sometimes I just don't feel like watching shit. But I said, well, let me go ahead and watch another Mario Bava movie. And this time I watched old Kidnapped. If you can see with the glare, but it also goes by the name Cani Arrabbiati, which means rabid dogs. And I like that title better because that's the poster I saw. And that poster looks ridiculous. It looks like a silly comedy, you know, like some slapstick shit. Bunch of goofballs in a car and they're about to run over some lady. Let me see if they got a picture of that in here. They do not, because this, who the fuck put this shit out? I don't remember. Anchor Bay? Yeah, Anchor Bay. You know, they didn't really give a shit. Anyway.
I heard they were coming back.
Yeah. Cani Arrabbiati, or rabid dogs. It's about some guys, some Italian guys that are doing a robbery. They're robbing some kind of chemical plant or some shit. Anyway, they shoot some people and they get away with a bag of money. Kind of get away. The cops are hot on their tails, Tom. So they go into a parking garage. They take two ladies that are just getting out of their car. They take them captive, you know, take them at knife point and gun point. Well, this guy with a knife, I think his name is Blade. So this is the first Marvel Blade movie. He accidentally slits her throat, you know, so, oh shit, now they only got one hostage, you know. They somehow make it out of the parking garage. They stop another car, and there's this guy in there, and there's a kid in the back seat, and, you know, they take him hostage, and like, hey, you know, my kid, I gotta get him to the hospital, he's not doing too good. Shut the fuck up, old man, you just drive, and you bitch, shut up and quit crying. It's a lot of that. It's a lot of these guys just talking shit to their two hostages. And it's pretty funny, man. Italians are just some sleazy people. They're just, you know, all sweaty and shit.
Greasy.
I guess they didn't get air
conditioning
in their cars for a long time before, after the rest of the world, you know. So it's a lot of just cruising through the countryside. And after a while, the lady says, "Hey, man, I really got to take a piss." So she gets off the car, makes a run for it. And two of the guys catch her and say, "Hey, you wanted to piss? Now piss." So, you know, they're into water sports. They're making her, you know, piss where they can see. And they're doing all the little, you know, you know, being Italian, like somebody just laid down a big old fucking tray of pasta. You know, they're just like, damn, that do whet the appetite. Yeah, they're back in the car and blah, 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 blah. It goes on for a while, but it's funny. It's entertaining. You know, the criminals, they start to get on each other's nerves and fuck things up. You know, some of them die and shit's not good. And finally, they get to the point where they find their getaway car. And they're going to get in that. And they're going to pull the hostages, you know. They got to. But the old man, he whips out a gun. Boom, boom, you know, starts shooting them and shit too. And, you know, the lady gets shot during this melee, during this gunfight. And the guy takes off, you know, in their getaway car with the kid. He makes a phone call. "Hey, if you ever want to see your kid alive again, you need to get me that money." You know, so he was a kidnapper too, Tom, this whole time. That is the tales from the twist on this one.
What?
Damn. Yeah. You know, I've been pretty hard on Mr. Bava, but this is good because it's not the pretentious bullshit that we've been seeing with the lighting and shit and the ambiance and the castles and like who's the killer. No, this is just some straight up exploitation shit. And, you know, I'm biased because I like that stuff. I think a lot of it's funny. And yeah, this one did it for me. You know, maybe if the guy wasn't such a pretentious prick on all his other movies and didn't have pretentious other pricks writing about how great he was, I'd like it a lot more. You never hear anybody fucking talking about this movie. They're always talking about the fucking Black Sunday, which sucked, and, you know, Barren Blood, which sucked. And you guys can go back and watch all the reviews that I've made for the other Bava films. But this so far,
there's a playlist. It might pop up right there if I figure it out.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend this one, and, you know, probably no other Bava film that I've seen compares to this. This nothing compares to this. Kidnapped. Rabid dogs.
Ah. Well there, Joe. It's been a while.
What?
But it's time to go back to I don't want to call it a bit because that's disrespectful as fuck. But you know, there was a time when we were talking about a lot of stuff. One of those things being a man that goes by the name of Pickle Boy. Don't laugh at that. You remember Pickle Boy, Joe?
I believe I do.
Yeah. So this new docuseries came out called Quiet on Set, the Dark Side of Nickelodeon or Kids TV, because that Vice show did so well.
So I saw this pop up, you know, and I looked at this and I thought, I bet you Tom watches this week.
Well, to be fair, when I first heard about it, I did send you a text that said, "Oh shit, there's another chapter in the Pickle Boy saga."
You did. I was also, aside from not watching television, not paying attention to a lot of the shit that came through my phone, which turned out to be a mistake in some instances. But go ahead, Tom.
So, yeah. This docuseries. I'm going to start out by saying this, Joe. You heard of this guy, Dan Schneider, this Nickelodeon guy?
Yes.
What have you heard about him?
That he is just a pedophile piece of shit.
That's what I heard too, Joe. Turns out, he's just a piece of shit. Hmm. Maybe a pedophile, but never convicted or anything. Probably just, you know, a weird dude. Now, the shit I'm going to say, I'm not defending this guy. I don't know this fucking dude. I don't give a fuck about knowing this dude. Don't want shit from this dude. I wouldn't want to work with children. This is fucking my career. But as I say all the time, everybody's different. We'll give them the benefit of the doubt, I guess. So this starts out with just talking about this Dan Schneider dude, and he created all that, the Amanda Show, Kenan and Kel, Good Burger, the fucking shit after that when I didn't watch anymore. What the fuck did they say? Zoe some shit. Maybe one was Victorious. Carly some shit. That's you made me. Yeah, these were fucking good money-making fucking things. So it turns out that this Dan Schneider guy is just kind of an asshole. Like, you know, Joe, say if I worked at Nickelodeon with children, I would probably say some wild fucking shit, because that's just the way I fucking talk. And, you know, I would probably put my fucking humor into this fucking shit, because that's just what I think. Things funny. If it gets past the censors, fine. I don't have kids. I don't know shit. You guys are the ones that hired me. So this, and there was like two writers who were upset because they agreed to a deal. Like, the deal was, okay, you guys are new writers and we only have salary for one writers. So if you want it, you can work as a team and you'll have to split the salary. And they agreed to it. So, like, that was supposed to be like, oh, this guy. So it's really all a bunch of, yeah, this guy was a fucking jag-off and mean to people and said inappropriate shit and wrote shit in fucking kids shows that was probably inappropriate. And then they show, like, clips of stuff that he wrote. And, I mean, out of context, shit's fucked up, but, you know, maybe in context of the show it wasn't. In kids' humor, it's just kind of silly, gross out shit with like fucking gack and feet and shit. Maybe the dude does like feet. I don't know. I don't really give a fuck. But they just pin like, oh, isn't he a creepy weirdo? And then you just see him like hugging kids and shit. And I'm just like, yeah, I wouldn't fucking hug kids. That's kind of weird to me. But I mean, I guess if they're your coworkers and shit, I don't know. Didn't come off like, hey, let me suck you. I don't know. It just seemed like this guy was a fucking asshole and they wanted you to know he was an asshole. And maybe he touches kids. Because like you, that's what I fucking heard about this guy. That's the narrative they put out there.
Right.
And then we get into the Brian Peck shit and how he was molested. He raped, like, Drake Bell, you know, We found out that was who it was years ago because we were talking about this shit and someone reached out. So it was an open secret. Spoiler alert, that movie is much better. So if you're interested in this at all, go check that out. But yeah, old Spider-Man, he was saying, like they were saying, so what did this dude actually do to you? And he was like, all right, you know, I can't say the shit, but think of the worst thing somebody could do when they're raping you. And that's what he did to me. And then it cut to like fucking transcript, highlighted text, sodomy, forced foreign object insertion and shit like that. It was the people editing this and doing this shit, a piece of work, they are there, Joe. So, yeah, they talk about that shit, and it happened a lot. He didn't want his fame to go away and shit like that, so he didn't tell anybody. So, yeah, Pickle Boy got arrested. They talk about a couple other pedophiles who worked there, and then they talk about Amanda Bynes and how she got all fucked up or whatever. And it's fucked up because a lot of this is like, you know, you're in the entertainment business. Everything's based on how you look, how you act. Do people like working with you? And that shit, that's really not shit that kids can comprehend and will fuck them up. That's like putting kids into the real world way too early. You know, you get what I'm saying? Does that sound right?
No, I get it.
So a lot of it was just like the kids who worked on the shows. They're just like, oh, yeah, when I got fired, I was fucked up. Now I'm an alcoholic. Like it was a lot of that kind of shit, which, again, everybody's different, to each their own. I'm not fucking saying anything one way or the other. But a lot of it was that. And it just seems like they focused on the wrong shit. And this was kind of a hit piece. And I don't know. Documentaries really aren't supposed to be slanted. However, fuck pedophiles. So I totally understand fucking slanting that shit. But I don't know. The narrative's kind of skewed. It's just your average talking head thing. And something I was thinking about, like fucking the cycle of abuse, whatever it is. I guess something happened with Drake where he fucking was like texting an underage girl or something. And they just kind of said, oh, yeah, he got probation and shit like that. Excuse me. But we never actually got into what it was. So it's just like, oh, he's fine. That's just kind of how it's played off. Again, I don't know what the fuck happened, but if you're going to bring that shit up, then bring that shit up, I guess. But they didn't. They just said, oh, and this happened too. So I don't know. I don't know. The documentary, like I said, it was average. Now it just came to light. And it was like he was grooming this dude, too. Like his dad, Spider-Man's dad was his manager, and Spider-Man's dad, Drake, that was his name. He knew that this Brian Peck dude was fucking weird. And the first person he talked to was just like, oh, you didn't know he was gay? Maybe you're a homophobe. And it's just like, what the fuck? And then, like Brian Peck kept going to Drake's concert. It's not that black kid Drake or fucking the cripple kid from the TV show or whatever. It's a dude who like voiced Spider-Man, was in that Drake and Josh show. So this Drake kid had a band. Brian would go and bring like all his questionable friends with to watch this kid's band. Like if they were in another city and shit, they would go. And he was trying to get his dad to stop being his manager and fucking like all this fucking weird shit. And fucking Pickle Boy, dude, god damn, this son of a bitch, he has a fucking, you know, John Wayne Gacy used to fucking paint from prison and send it out to fucking idiots who were dumb enough to pay him. So he has one of these red fucking flag right there, fucking. And not only that, he was pen pals with the motherfucker, too. You can't make that shit up, dog. So, yeah, fuck this dude. Like I said, it's another chapter. I can't remember. I doubt that we said fucking who it was at the time on the show. But, yeah, it's fucked up. Life is fucked up. This world is fucked up. Head on over to Fast Cuss, just kidding. But yeah, it was crazy. And then old Dan, he did an interview like in response to this shit with another kid who he worked with, who's a grown-up now. And this kid was just, you know, not kid, but this grown fucking man now. He was interviewing this dude. And I mean, like Danny sounded, you know, like remorseful. It's like, yeah, dude, what the fuck was I thinking? Being a fucking asshole, you know, you probably can't say this kind of shit to people. You know, he just had this fucking hit piece put on him. He was going to say something. Sure, it was scripted, probably something he had to do. But that interview's out there if anybody wants to watch it. But I don't know. It's like they were talking about this going on in the 90s and 2000s. Like, I don't want to be that dude, but it was a different time when shock jocks were running shit and everything was fucking wild, crazy, and offensive. And then we upped it with Chappelle's Show and fucking comedy like that. Like, that's the shit that I fucking grew up on. Just like wild fucking offensive shit. So I don't know. I can just because is every most people who watch this know that I say fucking wild offensive shit, not trying to be a fucking dickhead, but just thinking it's funny and shit. So, I mean, I can kind of understand like the dude where he was coming from and shit. He probably shouldn't have been fucking hired at Nickelodeon on a kid's show. Maybe put him in Comedy Central or some shit. I don't know. It's all Viacom. I don't know. I mean, that's just how it came off to me. Like, was he a creep hanging around with these kids and hugging them? Like, they were just there's. And can you believe that Dan Schneider did this? Like, he had a camera, this like, you know, a video camera, and he was walking up, like creeping up behind a girl, like one of the actresses or whatever, and just went, "Aah!" You know, just fucking a haunted house gag or anything. I'm sure you've done that dozens of times in your life, Joe. And they're just, oh, she was so scared. I can't believe he, and that was like one of the examples of him being a fucking dickhead. Now, there was another example of him being a dickhead, talking to one of the lady writers saying, bend over that desk and act like you're getting fucked in the ass. I mean, that's probably, you know, even being the 90s and all.
Yeah, it's doesn't fly well in the workplace, I wouldn't think.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of shit like that. Now, Joe, if you were sitting in a fucking room, in some, like you were at work or something, and the boss said that to somebody, would you laugh? I would. That shit's fucking ridiculous. I can't believe you just said that shit.
Yeah, I guess, you know, you got to take a lot of things into consideration. You got to take the tone in which it's spoken and things like that. You know, without being there, I don't know. But yeah, people say a lot of crazy shit for a laugh. You know, I didn't watch this documentary. I'm not defending the fucker. I don't know. But yeah, I've seen some crazy shit, you know, that was just done for shock value or whatever, you know. It was always the mentality, hey, if you can make one person cry, but everybody else in the room laughs, then it's worth it. You know,
it still sucks. You made that person cry. It's not like that was your intent.
Right. Yeah. I don't know.
Or maybe it was and you're a dickhead. I don't know.
Exactly. You know, with some people it was, you know, so it's I don't know. I think hopefully we've grown and become better, you know, at that. Because like we, like you say, we say a lot of fucked up shit on this show, but we're not directing it at anybody. And when we do say fucked up things to people, they're people like us, you know, that we hang around with, and they know our humor. It's not just people that walk up to us at a convention table and tell, hey, you know, bend over this fucking table right here. And, you know, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the podcast description, it says it's a comedy podcast, and it says it's rude, crude, and vulgar, not for the easily offended. Like, I made sure. So, I mean, it's not like we're throwing this out to people. People have to specifically search this shit out. So, yeah. And while you were talking, another thing I thought of, like, a good example, like, so you can get an idea of this Dan guy's character. Like, when he hired the ladies, he walked in and said, you don't mind if I call you guys the girls, do you? So he was, and then there's like, no, we don't care. Just like, all right, good. Because I hate girls who are uptight about that kind of thing. So that makes sense. He was that kind of dude. Huh. So, I mean, he was probably a fucking dickhead, an asshole to work with. But I don't know. He seemed remorseful and shit. But I mean, after... You know, you just had this fucking hit piece put on you and shit. What else are you going to fucking do? Like I said, I got no fucking card in the game or whatever the fuck term you want to use. It's just, it was all right. But watch An Open Secret. That's a much better documentary. This is just like a little more information towards that. It's just weird that they've focused on this guy just being a fucking dickhead instead of like fucking kids getting hurt and shit. Which, I mean, I'm sure some kids feeling, and even like mention him besides like hugging kids and shit. You know, I'm sure he would yell and be like, what the fuck? And shit like that. But like I said, again, it's fucking kids probably not, shouldn't be exposed to being in the real world, but I mean, that's on their parents for letting them fucking be child actors and shit and electing to fucking put your kids into the real world probably a lot sooner than they fucking should be. So,
and while it may not fly well, especially like today, it's not gonna fly at all, but if you're making money for a studio, they're gonna overlook a lot of shit, you know. And yeah, and like the people not, you know, justifying any kind of behavior, but they wanted a piece of that, you know, they wanted the fame, and they're willing to overlook, you know, a lot of stuff, or were willing to overlook a lot of stuff. I mean, it's good that people aren't now, that people, you know, will come out and say, you know, like, hey, you know, was telling me either I suck his dick or I'm not getting this part, you know.
That's how Joe got on the podcast.
That's trying to get out of the podcast.
Joe, please, I need you on this podcast. Oh, and then like again, I'm not defending this fucking guy, but
okay.
It was said that he didn't hire Brian Peck. That wasn't like a guy that he's just like, yeah, this is my boy, I'm bringing him in.
So he was the Bryan Singer crew and all that?
This Dan guy?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. They didn't bring that up. So, yeah. And when Drake told Dan what was going on, like, Dan had his back and said, all right, man, whatever the fuck you need. And it was crazy when old Drake went to court, like fucking what's his name, Pickle Boy's side. It was all full of people, like character witnesses saying he was a good dude, like fucking recognizable people in Hollywood. And Drake said, yeah, I just had my mom and dad on my side. Shit was fucked up.
Sounds about right, though. Sounds about, you know, exactly what you would have got at that time, you know.
So, yeah. I don't know. It was fucking coming from some kind of angle. Like I said, an open secret is much better. It's just fucking, it sucks, dude. Spider-Man talking about fucking all this wild shit and, you know, how these fucking grown-ups feel bad, but everything's fucking different. Everything affects everybody in a different way, and you can't be like, fuck you for feeling like that and shit like that. It's like, everything's different. I'm sure you've done stuff you're not proud of. I've done stuff I'm not proud of, but hopefully we didn't fuck kids. I'm just talking for me. I fucking Joe, I'm pretty goddamn sure he didn't. I'm just saying, as a person, hopefully you live, learn, and grow. And you get what I'm saying, Joe? We're not fucking kids. I want to make that shit perfectly clear. God damn it. Let's move on. What'd you watch?
Like I said, not much. I finished season 3 of The Crown, which, for people that don't know, this is a show about the British aristocracy, you know, Queen Elizabeth, her husband, who I didn't know shit about, and, you know, some of the other people in the family that I didn't know shit about, and, like, some of the big scandals or weird things that happened during this whole time. And this season, it's weird because the first 2 seasons, you know, it was the same people playing like the queen and the fucking, I don't know what they call her husband. He's not king because he's not part of the family. See, he married into the family. So he's just like some fucking layabout, you know, it's there and they gave him a title to shut him the fuck up. But, in new actors to play older versions, so it's kind of jarring, you know. It's like, well, who the fuck's this lady? But they're all pretty good, you know. This show seems to bring in like the best actors that Great Britain has, and they give
not so Great Britain.
They give a little more attention this season to Prince Charles, and they bring some dorky looking motherfucker that looks a lot like him, you know, and he's all slunched whenever he walks, you know, just and they make him out.
He looks like they should have had a documentary about it.
Like weakest motherfucker alive, you know, just like no fucking backbone whatsoever. And yeah, I mean, looking at the real life guy, you would think, shit, that's probably true. You know, and he's the fucking king now, which is weird as shit. This is not a show that I thought I would have liked. You know, it's British aristocracy. Who gives a shit about that? It's good. I dig it. The performances are good. Each one of the episodes is like kind of a self-contained storyline, and they're all, it's good shit.
I'm very concerned over our last segment, Joe. I tend to overthink things, and I want to make sure you or I don't look fucking terrible as hell, because it's always fucked talking about that shit.
Well, you might want to rewatch it 3 or 4 times, Tom, before you decide. Because me too. I think you went a little long, you know, and so I don't know.
The shit was like 4 hours, though.
Yeah, and that's another thing. Like a lot of these docu-series, you know, this shit could have been told in like 1 2-hour thing, right? Or an hour and 30 minutes. I don't like watching any of them. Even, you know, if it's like some murder thing that looks intriguing, okay, that looks intriguing. Let me go read a news article about it. Okay, bam, I'm done. I don't need to see them fucking talking to everybody, like the fucking guy that delivered the groceries and shit like that, you know? It's a lot of shit that doesn't need to be in there. It's just filler, man. Let's just, you know? And the streaming services, that's what they want. They want fucking filler. It's like, hey.
Yeah, it's just content to slop out there.
Yeah, what are we going to do with 1 2-hour episode? Hey, stretch it out to 3. Let's make this thing 6 hours.
Yep. Speaking of content to just slop out on a streaming service, I watched the Freaknik documentary. Yeah, I would ask Joe if he's heard of this, but he went to go get a beer or piss in a bottle, maybe.
I saw a trailer for it pop up on, I guess, when I was watching one of the Dolomite movies or something.
It's content to slap out on a streaming service, Joe. It's an okay documentary. You learn about Freaknik, which is pretty much Black Spring Break. It started out with like a meetup thing for this one college, and then it just started growing and growing and growing and became like a spring break destination for black colleges across the country and shit. I don't know. Again, Joe, to each their own. I can't tell somebody how to feel or any of that shit. But I'm an inclusive dude. I think, you know, just bring everybody together. We can all laugh about our differences and, you know, the things that make us human and just grow as a people together. But this is just like, no, this was for us. You know, you can come if you wanted, but this was for us. And they were talking about like how South Padre Island in Galveston was for white people and they wanted something for them. I was just kind of thinking, I mean, I kind of get it, but I mean, that's just for college kids to go and spring break your college kids. So, but I mean, the whole race baiting thing, that angle of it kind of got to me. But again, to each their own, I'm not a fucking angry black lady. I'm just a privileged white dude. So, you know, I can't really.
Where was this Freaknik celebration held?
Hotlanta. Fuck yeah. So of course they interviewed HGTV's own Lil Jon. God damn, that dude lost so much cred when he started doing fucking house flipping or house remodeling shows, whatever the fuck. If you ain't hanging fucking the wallpaper up with Skeet, you fucking sold out, you sumbitch. But the music was great in it. The music was the best part of the documentary, which probably isn't a good thing since it's a visual medium. However, pussy popping in it was okay. It was very fucking PG-14 or TV-14, but it was still there, whatever. So that added something. But yeah, it was just, you know, the rise and fall of anything. It got too big, too out of control, and, you know, bad things happen, so they shut it down.
Yeah.
This is the equivalent. This is the Black Woodstock 99 documentary, I guess. So, I mean, it's fine if you're fucking vacuuming or boiling noodles or some shit. Put it on in the background. It was fine. Like I said, it's just content to fucking slop out there. Eat it up, pigs. Huh. You ever go to Freaknik? This sounds like this would have been around your time.
I'd never even heard of Freaknik. I was like South Padre Island, you know, with the white folk.
Yeah. Yeah, when that lady was saying that shit, I was just like, all right. But she just came off as an angry black lady. So I'm just like, eh, I can't tell you how to feel, man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck. You watch anything else?
I watched The Legend of Dolomite. Bigger and Badder. You ever heard of this one, Tom?
Yeah, I think I talked about it a good 5 weeks ago there, Joe.
Yeah, well, like, I'm trying to watch everything in order, you know, and chronological order, Tom. So this is 1 hour documentary and opposite of what, you know, the docuseries Tom was talking about, where that was a hit piece, is what Tom said, you know, defending the guy kind of.
Fuck you, dude. You even said, yeah, I heard the guy was fucking kids.
Yeah, I did. This is a love piece. This is an hour documentary just praising the shit out of Rudy Ray Moore. And it goes through his career as being a singer and being a comedian.
Yo. Some of the shit that old Dan did was fucked up, but like, it was weird shit that, you know, had to get past censors and shit.
Try not to throw his shit in with old Dolomite here. yeah, from being a comedian and then time making movies and then wanting to go back and then doing nothing for a while, back to comedy. And then back to movies, and then back to singing, you know, back to sing. Because that's what Rudy Ray Moore really always wanted to do, is sing. He wanted to bring joy to the world through his voice, Tom. And this documentary has a lot of rappers that he worked with for a while, like that guy from Bone Thugs Harmony, Schoolie D from the Beastie Boys, you know.
Oh, yeah, you know, I was always watching them Dolomite movies.
Mm-hmm. Old dog.
Oh, yeah, that's my uncle, Rudy Ray Moore.
Ain't nothing better than Dolomite. yeah, it's all right. It's smart in its runtime, because if it was longer than an hour, you'd probably get tired of it. You know, just like, nah, fuck this. I'm tired of hearing good shit about old Rudy Ray Moore here. You know, okay, all right, yeah, he's a legend. I get it. This guy said it. This guy said it. This guy said it. This guy said it. Oh, let's go back and listen to this guy say it again. This guy say it again. This guy say it again. So it's very repetitive in the things that they're saying. But what's cool about it is that they start talking about this new movie that Dolomite is going to make. He's coming back, Tom. And, yeah. He's been going to be in a new movie called... Let me see. I got it written down here. I don't know. I don't remember what it was called, Tom. But maybe you and I will talk about it one day.
Maybe. Yeah, this was a fluff piece. Mm-hmm. It was made to be a special feature for a box set.
Fluff piece.
Yeah. You know, I can't say like everyone. I can only speak for myself. But, you know, I can be a real fucking prick at time. You catch me? I'm the nicest guy you ever met. Or other times, I'm just a fucking miserable prick. And that's kind of how Rudy Ray Moore was. And they don't really get into that on how he could be a fucking asshole and shit. It was also like, oh, yeah, he was a great dude. Yep.
I thought for sure you were going to lead into talking about that other guy again.
No.
Yeah, Rudy Ray Moore, man.
So, yeah, I watched Trey Moore's 4. Something the beginning. I can't remember what it was, but this is an old timey one. So I guess Perfection was originally called Rejection, and they had a silver mine And Tremors were eating everybody in the silver mine. So everybody left. And the owner of the silver mine came to see what the fuck was going on. And he's a British chap, a dapper British chap, played by Michael Gross. So I guess it's old Bert's great-great-great-grandfather or something. Same shit, just old-timey. See how they defeat Tremors with old-timey shit and, you know, that kind of thing. So it was all right. It was one of the slightly above-average ones. There was a lot of puppets in this one and not just garbage-ass CGI, so that helped. The Asian characters, they acted like Asian characters were directed to around the time of this movie being made. So, Joe, that kind of shit makes you giggle, which it does. This might be the Tremors movie for you to check out. Yeah, it was another one. It was all right. Better than the show, for sure. I appreciated the puppets. You know, Michael Gross, he was playing a different character, so that was something, but still his last name was Gummer.
He's not wearing a ball cap this time.
Oh, he's wearing a stupid fucking hat off that wearing a stupid fucking hat that he should probably take off when he gets on set or into my office, but
like an engineer. Cap or something?
No. You know, those fucking proper dapper British assholes with their stupid fucking penis tipped hats. The nerd? Just have like the, yeah, maybe. Fucking suck. You should be able to smack those off of people's fucking heads. Especially if they're wearing fucking curly mustaches like old fucking Not Bert was. It was all right. At least it didn't say directed by Dan Schneider, so that was nice. I was worried for the young Chinese boy on set, you see, because that's what the media told me. Yeah, the guy was a dickhead. I'm not saying he wasn't. I mean, fuck him.
He's just got a particular sense of humor.
Dude. Do you have anything else?
No, I do not.
Well, Joe, I watched one of your favorite movies, Casino. Have you heard of it?
I have.
You like it?
I do.
Yeah, it was okay. I can see how people of an older generation before Quentin Tarantino would think these movies were fucking awesome because Quentin Tarantino took a lot of shit from this dude to make his movies. So I get it. It was okay. A lot of people love this shit. Again, it was okay. Joe Pesci, he's fucking puts on a weird accent that's distracting as shit through the whole fucking time. So there's that. Yeah, I don't know. It was all right. I'll never watch it again. I saw it. I'm good. You got anything to say about old Casino there, Joe?
It was nominated for a lot of awards. A lot of people in it were nominated. But the one performance that really stood out for me that I thought was the best performance wasn't nominated. And that was James Woods. I thought he's fucking great in this movie. Just like a slimy, you know, no account piece of shit. And he's fucking perfect. Fucking perfection. Mwah. As I was like, say.
He was pretty good in it. I like him more in Surf's Up, but he was pretty good in this one. That's the Surfing Penguin movie, you see.
Yeah, I'm sure Lisa's seen it, but I pass on that.
You should watch the second one. It's WWF theme.
Mm. Oh, well, Cena's in it, huh?
Yes. Oh, shit, Joe. I watched the Hit Motion picture, Stop Motion. Have you heard of it?
I've heard of it. I've seen people talking about it, and then I just kind of zoomed through because I don't really give a shit about anybody's opinion but mine. So I don't know what it's about or anything, but I imagine Stop Motion figures into it somehow.
It does, Joe. The main character of the movie is this lady who's a stop motion animator, and her mom is like Lady Ray Harryhausen, but she's old and her hands are all crippled up with arthritis and shit, so she can't move the puppets. So the mom's there kind of being the director, telling her how to move the puppets so they can finish her movie before she dies. And, you know, she's kind of a Dan Schneider type, saying, "Do it right, you fuck!" and shit like that, just being an all-around dickhead to her daughter. Well, all she's trying to do is help her make this movie. And then her mom's such a dickhead, she has a fucking fatal stroke and is in a coma in the hospital for most of the movie. So, the lady says, "All right, I'm going to finish my mom's movie." And then she's fucking dating a music executive or some shit, and he owns an apartment building or some shit, and his sister's also a stop motion animator who does commercials and shit like that. So the boyfriend says, "Hey, pick any of the rooms in this abandoned apartment I own, and you could fucking set up to finish your movie in it." So she does, and then she's working on her movie, and a little girl comes in, and the little girl's kind of a fucking bitch. Just a real fucking asshole kid. I wish she was on a Nickelodeon set when she was... See, it's shit like that I find funny. You know, some other people wouldn't. Hashtag stand with Dan. Again, fuck the dude. I don't give a good goddamn. So this little girl's just like, "Oh, yeah, your shit fucking sucks. Why don't you fucking make your puppets with dead shit? Here's a steak. Make a fucking puppet out of dead shit. And make my story." So the little girl has this lady make fucking marionettes or the stop motion puppets out of fucking like meat and shit. And then we see the story being animated. And then the little girl's just like, "I'll tell you the next part of the story," because they're all mates and shit. So they talk like that, you see. "I'll tell you the next part of the story if you make a puppet out of this dead fox." So she does. And all the while, the fucking lady's just looking sickly and, you know, just not handling life and shit well. And, you know, just making this movie. Oh, I shouldn't say she's not making her mom's movie anymore. After the little girl came in and said, "Hey, this sucks. Do this instead." She just throws all her mom's shit out and starts making this little girl's movie. And the whole time she's arguing with the little girl, "It's my movie. Oh, is it really?" And shit like that. And It's just a ladies' descent into madness movie, and I'm sure you figured it out. The little girl's in her fucking head, and it's I mean, this shit was trying to be a deep movie about fucking art and artists, and more specifically stop motion, because the guy who made it's a stop motion animator, but it just fucking falls flat, a little bit up its own ass. It's okay, it's slow, but stop motion's cool. I mean, the puppets and the look of the house in the fucking stop motion segments, it's not really the style I like, but I still appreciate the art and can say, oh yeah, that's fucking, that's cool. But there's some cool stuff in it. It's just like, if you just would have worked the story out a little more, got your message out a little better, this could have been pretty fucking dope. But it's like nothing's really coming to mind. You've seen movies. You've seen this movie before. It might not have been a stop motion animator. It would have been something else. But it's just, oh, crazy ladies, actually crazy. You know, women distressed movie. I don't know what the fuck you would call it, but it was okay. See if I got anything else, Joe. Joe? If there was an explosion, do you think that just personally you yourself would be survived or chosen to survive?
I think the explosion. I would be chosen to survive this hypothetical.
The Dolomite Explosion, a.k.a. Dolomite 2000, a.k.a. Return to Dolomite, a.k.a. Dolomite 2002. Whew. Rudy Ray Moore said, oh, I'm getting old, so I'm going to take the rest of my money and make one more movie. So he teamed up with some fucking guy whose name I can't fucking pronounce. And they set out to make this new Dolomite movie. Unfortunately, his business partner was shady as fuck, would show up with the equipment 4 hours late. Often, Jerry Jones worked on the script. But from what I read, the script was kind of not really there, and there was a lot of ad-libbing and shit, and there was just a shit ton of fucking problems with this. As I'm sure you noticed in the movie, Rudy Ray Moore isn't in the best shape. He's pretty much walking around diabetic-eyed, blind as fuck. He died on set legally, because he didn't take his insulin. So he was pronounced dead on set. And Jimmy Lynch was just like, oh no, he does this all the time. Just give him a shot of insulin and he'll be back at it. So they didn't. Then he was fucking pronounced alive again. And just shit was fucked up with the movie. They had to bring in fucking Ron Hall, who he makes some good movies there, Joe, to finish this one up. And yeah, it was just a messy, muddled production, and Rudy didn't like it. And it is what it is, Joe. It's a mess of a movie that, while it is entertaining, it's definitely a step down from the four core Rudy Ray Moore films. However, it is severely Belly 2-esque. So I would assume that you love this movie, Joe.
I thought it was pretty good, Tom. So in this one, Dolomite's been in Africa for a while. But, man, those three, they're getting out of hand. You know, people getting shot left and right. And Dolomite's sister says, hey, you need to come back, Dolomite. You need to
come. Did you notice who Dolomite's sister was?
Dead. And
okay.
He comes back.
Who was she, Joe?
He brings along his two sons with him. You know, so he's got sons of this. But not only that, while in Africa, he somehow got lightning powers. And they explain, you know, that a little later. But he can shoot lightning from his hands. And it does all kinds of shit, you know. It can stop time. It can just blow a motherfucker away. I don't remember what else it does. But anyway.
So it's not really his hands as much as it is one fingernail he grew really long. And it just kind of gives him Petey Wheatstraw powers. This whole movie's just like kind of cherry picking from stuff that he liked from the four previous movies.
Well, see, runs into the brother of an old villain, an old nemesis, Willie Green's brother from the first Dolomite movie is the big bad in this one.
What's his name?
I don't remember his name in this.
Well, that's because they called him three different names, Joe.
Kind of confused, you know. It's like, they just call him Willie Green, but he's Willie Green's brother?
No, they didn't. They called him Almo Green, A-L-M-O. They called him Elmo Green, E-L-M-O. And they called him Alamo Green, A-L-A-M-O.
I don't know. Dolomite's got to karate his way.
And he is played by Mr. Motion, Jimmy Lynch.
He's got to, you know, get some ladies to stand up in it.
Jesus Christ, Joe. You want to fucking describe this fucking holy hell of an erotic scene?
Dolomite pulls up on two ladies that are walking down the street.
What kind of ladies, Joe?
Not very attractive ladies. You know, they're just, they're a little on the heavier side, but, hey, that's never bothered Dolomite, you know. Aside from these two ladies, like, there's some karate ladies that are a lot.
So you're not going to talk about how he took them into the back of the SUV, opened up the trunk of the SUV, pulled his pants down, and fucked them through their pants?
No, I'm not going to talk about that,
Tom. All right. Well, it was a sex scene where it was supposed to be Dolomite having sex with these, you know, just average, everyday women. There was nothing like, oh, they brought strippers in. And he was just like, hey, ladies, you know me. They're just like, oh, shit, it's that bad, bad Dolomite. Oh, that's right. Meet me in the back. And then he proceeds to have a stunt double come in, or a stunt cock, if you will. And you just see this guy's ass thrusting into these ladies' fucking pelvis areas. Their vagina areas. But they're clearly wearing their pants all the way up as tight as they possibly can. And God damn, is this fucking not what Rudy Ray Moore movies were? He had some silly fucking sex scenes, but this is just something else. All this was a showcase to promote a new song, Stand Up In It, which wasn't very good. And that's the only reason that very, very long sex scene is in the movie, just to try and get that over. Yep. As you can see on the cover right there, it says, oh, featuring the hit new track, Stand Up In It, or whatever the fuck it says. So they were really banking on that to be something, Joe.
Yeah, it definitely seems out of place in the movie, and they could cut it, not lose a damn thing. But the movie overall, I think it's got some funny shit. It's the low budget type shit that's, you know, even lower budget than the first two Dolomite movies. You know,
but realistically, this is a step above a backyard production. How many steps are there? How big are the steps? I don't know, but it's a step above a backyard production.
But I thought it was funny. Sometimes, you know, like the first few Dolomites, it was intentional. And, you know, some of the laughs are unintentional. And, you know, the fucking karate looks better. It's better choreographed, you know.
Well, that's because they have a stunt double coming in and obscuring his face and doing, like, flips and shit.
Yeah. Yeah, no shit.
Well, you have to say that because maybe these people haven't seen the movie and they're wondering.
Well, I mean, you know, they can go fucking subscribe to Brown Day to watch it if they want, you know. Yeah, I mean, I'm glad I watched it. I mean, I'll probably, I don't know, maybe I will watch it again at some point. You know, I think I enjoy it probably more than, or at least on the same level as Disco Godfather, you know?
I it is funny, and it is an entertaining movie. But it's kind of sad. It doesn't really have the charm of the other ones. And this one plays more as a so bad it's good movie than the other ones do. There's, you know, the Rudy Ray Moore movies, they're known for just kind of ending. Well, they lost the footage for the end of this movie. So this one just kind of fucking ends. And I'm shocked that you didn't bring this one up because you're a fucking pervert. But there's another fucking sex scene in this movie. And this lady walks in. You're just like, all right. All right. You know, this is where the money and the budget went. Okay. Okay, and then she pops her top off and everybody puked. These were the biggest fucking breast enlargement scars I think there have ever fucking been.
It looked like a painful surgery and aftercare, and it's like she did not spend a whole lot of money to get that work done.
I shout out to her for being fucking confident enough to fucking do that shit, but it seems like this was 2 weeks after the surgery, the day after the redness went away. She's like, all right, I can start working now. it was fucked. And then Rudy Ray Moore is just so old. You know, I said diabetic-eyed, but there's no other way to describe his fucking eyes in this movie because they're just so fucked up and puffy, they're barely open and shit, and he's just, it's fucking, like, if you've never seen a Dolomite before and don't have the appreciation and respect for him, you would think this movie is fucking hilarious because it's just this crazy ass old man doing this wild ass shit. That's why I'm saying, like, I think it would work pretty fucking good as a so bad it's good movie if you haven't watched any of the other ones, but it's not awesome for being the final Rudy Ray Moore movie. Like, it's cool to see him and Jerry Jones and Jimmy Lynch together. I think Lady Reed had died before this, so unfortunately she wasn't able to make it, but Yeah, it just...
I'm glad this was his last movie instead of Shaolin Dynamite or Shaolin Dolomite, you know, because that, you know, that was just a fucking embarrassment. You know, his scenes in it anyway, you know, it's just, what the fuck?
What the fuck? Like, then, what the...
This one has, like, some ridiculous shit, like the fucking bad guy having a talent show in his fucking apartment or whatever, you know?
Dolomite's sons, they're not used at all. I'm pretty sure they're mentally challenged. Like, they come off seriously fucking, like, something's fucked up with the chromosomes. I don't know. What the... They don't do fucking shit. Magic Fingernail, the movie? What the fuck? I don't know what else to say. Fuck. So, yeah. Rudy Ray Moore died because of complications of diabetes. And that was the end. And for a while, the only way to watch this was, what was it, part of the Dolomite Total Experience box set. So I had to buy this box set, even though I already owned all these movies, just to get this one. And boy, was I disappointed the first time I watched it. Holy shit. But yeah, those were the movies of Rudy Ray Moore. As I said at the beginning of this, he was an influence on my fucking filmmaking career. Can't even call it that. But he was definitely an influence on the shit I did. And just, you know, this is the shit I want to fucking do attitude. So it was good shit. But we got one more, Joe.
What? You motherfucker.
We got one more. And this is the Rudy Ray Moore biopic, Dolomite Is My Name, starring Eddie Murphy. So I remember thinking this was pretty good. However, watching all these movies back and remembering Dolomite Is My Name, I think I might have a slightly different view when we come back and talk about this one, Joe.
All right.
Let me ask you this, though. Hmm? You like Spider-Man?
Sometimes, Tom. Other times I don't. For instance, over in Marvel Team-Up number 88, maybe, I think it was, Spider-Man's teams up with the Invisible Girl. I think she was still called the Invisible Girl at the time, not the Invisible Woman, even though she's a woman. You know, she's got a kid. And
probably working for Dan Schneider.
Well, the kid gets kidnapped, you know, kidnapped because the dumb bitch let Alicia Masters babysit for her.
You know, can't even see shit.
Mind ass Alicia Masters. That you do not want that shit.
How the fuck does she sculpt better than I do?
I don't know. She's pretty good, though. Well, her dad was a puppet master. But, yeah, so she teams up with Spider-Man's and they, you know, fight, track down the people and save the kid. Woo! Self-contained issue, not very good. Over in Peter Parker's Spider-Man's, he has his big fight with Swarm, you know, the concluding chapter of the Nazi skeleton that's animated by bees. And, remember I said that we were introduced to a new supporting cast, and these are all the teacher's aides that help in the college. And Spider-Man's is fighting the bees, and you can't really fight bees, so he gets stung all the fuck up. And all these student aid people, teacher's aides, teacher's aides, whatever. They put their science minds to work together, and they make like an insect repellent, you know, that's going to fuck these bees up. But Peter Parker's got to hang back, you know, because he's got to do his Spider-Man's bit. And then one bitch just says, "So you're just a fucking panty-waist coward, aren't you, Peter Parker?" And he has to put up with it. Has to put up with it so he can go be Spider-Man's. But anyway, he saves the day using that repellent and shit. Big deal. Then, Tom, we got a milestone issue in Amazing Spider-Man's.
200 issue.
100 issues.
200.
Well, you know, at least we know that Marvel, they're going to pull all the stops out, you know, with the 200. You know, it's a fucking milestone, right?
It was a pretty shitty cover, wasn't it?
It was a shitty cover, and the interior art, I felt, was equally as shitty. This time, Spider-Man's is fighting Joe Chill, the guy that killed Batman's parents. No, it's not him. He's fighting the guy that killed Uncle Ben. Because we find out that the reason this guy was in Uncle Ben's house in the first place is because that house that Peter Parker grew up in was an old mobster's house during the Prohibition. And that guy used to throw like liquor parties and stuff during Prohibition. Fucking evil guy. And, he hid a fortune somewhere in the house. And, well, thing is, you know, if you don't remember, Spider-Man's got, like, shot with something from Mysterio and doesn't really have his powers, but he does kind of have his powers when it's convenient for the story. And this story is very inconvenient to read because I don't give a shit, you know? We get a recap on the...
we just skip to the end because that's the funniest fucking shit. So this whole story is just Spider-Man trying to get over the drugs that Mysterio filled him up with because those got rid of his spider powers. So it's also a story of Spider-Man getting his revengeance and the dude who killed Uncle Ben. So long story short, Peter Parker goes to fight old fucking whatever his name is. Okay, so the money that was supposed to be... Oh, wait, first... This is so fucking dumb. Yeah. God damn, I love it. The guy who shot Uncle Ben, he dies of fright. He has such a fright, he dies.
He thought Spider-Man's was going to kill him, so he dies.
And then Aunt May, who's not dead because it was an illusion, you see. Peter says, "Hey, bitch. What's up with this money?" "Oh, yeah, we found it, but Silverfish ate it." The end.
Keep your comic books in a basement or an attic, because Silverfish will get at them. Yeah, Spider-Man is trying to make it. Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
Spider-Man sucks.
And they tell us in the
everybody who says make the movies more like the comic books.
Let's not do that.
He died of fright.
Fuck everybody that says that the Stan Lee Ditko run is like the greatest comic book run in history. No, it's not. It sucks. They were trying to do a little Steve Ditko style in this book, and it looks like shit. They try to, like, as an added bonus, Stan Lee wrote one page of this comic. Can you guess which page? I didn't give a fuck. You know, it's like, it all sucks. It could all be him, you know?
Yeah. You know, you like the Spider-Man that you grew up with. That's just leave it at that. Don't go treading into any other. That's why there's the Spider-Verse, because it's all different. And unless you grew up with it, it all sucks. So they have to make a universe where all these different Spider-Men exist so they can keep on making money. Ah, fuck. I can't wait for the 13th anal next week. That's going to be sweet.
I want to say thank you to Spider-Man comic books 1, 2, and 3 who got us through all this. And this other guy, I am the real Rodrigo or whatever, that that put 200 on there. And I think he has a whole bunch of other issues on there too.
What's up, dog?
Oh, you know. You know.
Hell yeah. So I watch this docu-series. If you hear jarring cuts on this podcast, it's because I got scared.
Got a different sense of humor, you know, because like, I got a different sense of humor, so I can relate to the guy.
I can understand, but he probably shouldn't have been fucking hired there. Not the other shit, though, like getting fucking rubs from coworkers and shit and hugging kids. I was like, no, I would probably make a dick joke in front of a kid, too, and I can't understand how that's fucked up. So,
Joe Biden or something, hugging kids.
You were the one who was sleepy yesterday. Don't be bringing him into it, Sleepy Joe. Isn't that what they call you?
Was fucking sleepy yesterday.
Well, let me ask you this, SJ. You like lists?
No, I don't fucking like lists, Tom. And I forgot I'd sent you the subject of this list, which is our top five Toms. So I did this during the course of our show. And my number five Tom, I just went ahead and threw you on there because, you know, you're a friend. And, you know, you've got questionable taste in, like, how you make jokes in front of kids. You know, you say some things for a laugh that, you know, probably shouldn't. You shouldn't be working at Nickelodeon, Tom. But
to be fair, I don't even fucking associate with the kids because the temptation is too strong. But yeah, you're a piece of shit for not making me number one, Joe. I just want you to know that.
I know, but, you know, these other times, you know, I like them.
Woo! My number five, the star, he was in it, of Fisted, of DWN Productions, Fisted. Tommy Dreamer, couldn't be a cooler dude. Number five. Now we'll wait for Joe to kick whatever pedophile out he invited over to his house.
At number four, I have Tommy, the musical from The Who. It's about a deaf, dumb, blind kid that can sure play a mean pinball.
My number four, Joe, is Tommy Gibbs, Fred Williamson's character from Black Caesar and Hell Up in Harlem. Hmm.
Tom, at number three, like you, I didn't want to flood my list with a bunch of Caucasian fellows. You know, I didn't want to be all white. So I have Black Tom, the X-Men, hangs around with old Juggernaut.
Who happens to be white.
Well, yeah. He's Irish or some shit.
It's not, yeah, his last name's Cassidy, you see. My number three is Tommy Chong. Why? Because I have a basketball Jones, you see. And if you have a basketball Jones, head on over to dwnproductions.net and get a Boy God basketball jersey, which will only be available for pre-order this week. So if you want it, get it.
Tom.
Joe.
At number two, I have that old crooner, Tom Petty. Because he taught me that, no, I don't have to live like a refugee.
He was lucky, you see. King of the Hill.
Even the losers get lucky sometimes.
Nah, we don't. Joe, my number two is Tommy Boy, Chris Farley, Tommy Callahan from the movie Tommy Boy. Dan Schneider production.
Tom, at number one, I have the Thompson machine gun.
I'm fucking better than him, whoever the fuck that is. Go suck a dick, Joe.
Which are more commonly known as Tommy guns. You know, they see they have this big round drum, you see, that you put in front of it. And then, yeah, all the mobsters used to use these Tommy guns, you see.
My number one is Tom Martino, Sr., my dad. Rest in empowerment, King. Hope hell's treating you well. So everybody, hey, head on over to dwnproductions.net, Mask Bus, props, custom work, fast custom shirts, horror, sci-fi, exploitation, custom work, basketball jersey, this weekend only, this week only. Pre-order it. Get it. T-shirts, fast custom shirts. Get your hands on them. Get it? Seriously, folks, thanks for joining us on this extra special episode. Yeah, I do appreciate it for sure. Hope you got some entertainment out of this. Hope you don't think too poorly of Joe after this episode and all the wild shit he said. I don't fucking condone any of it, to be quite honest with you guys. But hey, boy, God.